You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We want to thank you for making this part of your daily routine. We are here with you with fresh podcasts Monday through Friday. So all of you new listeners, hope you're enjoying sampling us and having us with you on your way to work, on your way to the gym, whatever it is, in the shower. We're happy that you are taking us along with you wherever you go. And remember that you can get the Locked On Celtics podcast on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. That's how you subscribe to us, the Reign of Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined today by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam.
And there was a third thing that I don't remember.
Young baby jam witch.
Young baby jam witch. Now, hold on. I got to do this again. Now, would you do a third jam if you do that?
I think that's a little excessive.
Big baby jam.
The second one, young big baby jam witch is a good one. I said young baby jam witch.
Young
but...
baby jam witch. I'm going to forget that. But no, see, after each one, there's got to be a different jam.
I mean, the second jam's already excessive. I don't know if I could throw in a third jam.
That's what makes it funny.
Repetition's the key to comedy.
We spend so much time like trying to figure out what a podcast is going to be and trying to put some thought into it and real effort and add like production elements. And the thing that I hear most is like, I love it when Jam says jam.
That's fantastic. I can do it more just randomly and while people are talking.
And people have commented on the musical interludes, which is a nice production element. And I appreciate people saying that. People don't normally comment on the actual content of the podcast.
Except to call us like homers or suckers or just like, except to complain and call us idiots, which is great because what we're here for.
Hate listen to us as long as you're listening to us, I guess. So today on the podcast, we'll talk about the Celtics' actual chances as a potential 4 seed, maybe 5 seed, of doing the seemingly impossible, but what seems somewhat still likely of getting into the NBA Finals. We'll also talk about who the third player needs to be for the Boston Celtics. We know number one, we know number two. Who's going to be number three if the Celtics are going to beat those odds? But we begin with ESPN and their poll of executives. NBA execs were asked, of the four quote-unquote super sophomores, who would you rather have, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, or Jason Tatum? They ranked them. They said, give them on a 4-3-2-1 scale. And Ben Simmons, despite his cowardly avoidance of three-point shots, was number one of all four picks. Donovan Mitchell was second behind him. Simmons got 55, Donovan Mitchell at 48, Jason Tatum at 43, and De'Aaron Fox 34, which is interesting because De'Aaron Fox is having like a very good season for the Sacramento Kings. But I guess in comparison to everybody, there it is. So Jason Tatum, number three. Let's start before we get into the comparisons and everything that were made. What's your ranking? Of those four, who would you rather have? Let's rank them 1 through 4.
I knew we were talking about this, but I was not prepared to give a ranking. So let me think.
I said that, and I'm not prepared to do one either.
I think I would go Simmons, Tatum.
My opinion feels like Simmons.
Simmons, Tatum, Fox, Mitchell. Like, Simmons, I slander Simmons all the time. Yeah. I have blouses made up that literally are telling him to shoot a three coward. Like, he is, I make fun of him a lot. I think it's a huge problem that he can't shoot. I kind of think that you can kind of game plan around him with his inability to shoot. That being said, he's really good at basketball. And if he was playing on a team that didn't have Joel Embiid and maybe a team that could like surround him with entirely guys who are playing on the perimeter, he'd be so good. He's just so good at creating. He has a ability to be a great defensive player. I don't know. I just think that Simmons is very, very good at everything else in the game besides the whole, you know, shooting thing.
That's fair. That's fair. And so this is why I don't like these things, because situation matters. How many times do I say that on this podcast? On every time I talk basketball, situation matters. So Ben Simmons, he doesn't shoot. He refuses to shoot. He may be shooting with his wrong hand. I'm convinced. Shout out to KOC Kevin O'Connor, who first brought it up. He is definitely shooting with his wrong with the wrong hand. I think he's
a righty.
Think he's a right-handed
shooter. He's Australian.
And
he's confused.
Yes, they righty is different down there. They also play knifey spoony, but Simmons, I agree, does all of those other things. Now, the Simmons of Philadelphia, I am going to say right up front, my opinion of him is very much skewed because I see what the Celtics do to him, and they game plan him out of games. Like he does so much against so many other teams, and then the Celtics come along with their specific personnel, and he is just nowhere near as effective. Now, are we talking about this Ben Simmons with the randomness of the NBA draft, and he's your first pick, and you say you got to start a team with one of these four guys, and you say, well, am I going to be able to build a complete fresh team around him and put those shooters out there? Can I get Al Horford on his team to stretch the floor out and then see him just go do work? Then, yeah, that guy's awesome. But the Ben Simmons that we see in Philly that does all these awesome things, that is still a fringe all-star but can be game-planned out of things, I'm so skewed by that. I'm just scared off by that one glaring weakness in an NBA where shooting is such a premium. A guy who can't shoot, just I can't wrap my head around that. A guy who can't shoot like that at that position, I don't like it. I would rather have one of the other three guys.
But each of the other three guys have like some flaw involved. If you think about Tatum, how many times have we complained about him not being able to gather on drives, or he's just clearly not the playmaker that Simmons is. I don't know if he does have the length, and I think he has the ability to be a good defender, but I mean, he's clearly not the same. I mean, last year he was 43% shooter from three. This year he's fallen to taking more three-pointers and more shots all around, is only a 36% shooter. So he is clearly a better shooter and a better offensive player, but he's not without his flaws. It's not like he can create and do all the kind of the crazy things that Simmons can. I'm with you. Like, the shot problem is clearly a huge one, but I don't know. It's the type of thing where it's like really all four of these guys are very good players, and if you'd be lucky to have anyone on their team.
That's true.
It's like the ranking of them is kind of it. Your situation absolutely matters, because it should matter about like how they fit into the rest of your team. I don't know if I can really like decide who, like, Mitchell feels like the safer pick over Fox because he's done it for one more season, but Fox has been damn good this year. But that being said, when we were in Sacramento, and then even the game when Fox was here in Boston, he was damn fast, and he was electric in transition and can really do some things. But like, that being said, he's not like a great shooter or a great offensive player. Eventually I think that will come, but I don't know. I think they all have clearly they all have like major flaws. I thought the argument that made the most sense to me from that article, which Was it by Timmy Goodtimes, Tim Bontemps? He put that together, right?
He did, yes.
Shout out to Timmy Bontemps. I thought the good point by some anonymous executive was that the reason you have Tatum out there over Mitchell or over Fox or over maybe not necessarily over Simmons in this case, but Tatum is like 6'8 and can defend and is a perimeter player. And that's just like in terms of body type, in terms of switchability, in terms of things like that. I think that's the type of thing that puts Simmons and Tatum, I would say, I guess, on the top tier, is just because I like the ability to, for their defense and the matchups and the versatility that they both have, whereas Fox and Mitchell are smaller gentlemen.
I will say, okay, putting all of the other Philly stuff aside, you can build a very good team around Ben Simmons. I do think that the inability to shoot is a significant issue, which is why I would rank Tatum. Right now, at this moment, Tatum isn't necessarily a better overall player, but he can do a lot more well. I think Simmons can do a couple of things like great. Like, he can be one of the best defenders out there. Like, if he puts his mind to it, he can really defend and he can be a problem. He can really, really see the floor. And
his vision is crazy.
His vision is insane. So there is a reason why he's the point guard. Like, he can see things and do things that are special. So those things are great. And Tatum doesn't do any one thing that's great yet. The reason why I, at this point, like Tatum better, and I'm not alone, there were three of these NBA executives who put him first. He can shoot. He can hit. I mean, this season he's had right about league average from three. Last year he was above. So we'll see where that ultimately settles in his career. He can drive. He's still not great all the time. He still loses the ball. He can pass. He doesn't do it often, but he can find guys and drive and kick, and he can defend. He does have stretches where he can be a very good defender himself. So I see the ability for him to do more things at a very, very high level, even if he never reaches the special level that Ben Simmons does at defending and at seeing the floor. He rebounds, both of them rebound. But I think that Tatum fills just more columns. He fills more of the stat sheet and can do more things well. And I think the cumulative effect of all of those things that he does well is what makes him so dangerous, because you can't sag off him. He will shoot, and eventually when he's not in this slump, he will start to hit those shots, and eventually he's going to learn to find the open guys when he drives, even though he's never going to be what Simmons is as a passer. So I just like what his future. I think his ceiling is higher ultimately than Ben Simmons.
No, if you can shoot close to 40% from three, like, you just become so much more of a dynamic player, and it changes everything about, like, your ceiling. So I agree that I think, like, eventually his ceiling, just being able to shoot like that, it totally changes how you're guarded. It changes everything. And it's one of the reasons why Ben Simmons should start shooting threes, just so people respect the idea of that shot. A little bit, but I would agree that it's like the size of Tatum and Simmons kind of put them above, because they have that ability to defend, they have the ability to be switchable, and then Tatum's ability to be a special offensive player with one who can shoot close to 40% from three makes him just that much more dynamic, whereas Simmons, he's never gonna shoot the ball.
And one West executive said that Jason Tatum might be Carmelo Anthony, that he needs the ball in his hands. And to me, ouch, first of all. That was not meant as a compliment, even though when I tweeted it out, some people were like, oh, great, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. Like, No. They're not talking about the Carmelo Anthony of the Denver early New York days. They're not talking about that. They're talking about Carmelo Anthony right now still, and a guy who is a ball-stopping, who's always been ball-stopping and very very much needed the ball. Wasn't exactly moving like Ray Allen off of picks or J.J. Redick off of picks or, you know, all of those guys. Like, he's the comparison to Carmelo was definitely a pejorative. And I can see the shades of it in Tatum's game, which is why I think he should very much be focused on driving and learning how to read the help and to learn how to drive and kick and all of that. So, but that stings. Like, if Tatum hears that and sees that, like, that's got to sting.
I don't know, man. People, NBA players feel like they have way more respect for Carmelo Anthony than people who analyze the NBA. He probably read that as a compliment.
I get that, but that's not set. It's clearly the context is not meant in a complimentary way. So, all right, that's it. That's the take on that. I wrote more about it on Mass Live. This story is on ESPN. When we come back, we'll discuss the Celtics right now. Is Jason Tatum the third most important player on the Celtics? When we get to the playoffs, who needs to be the guy besides Kyrie and Al Horford that steps up? Is it Tatum? Is it somebody else? We'll discuss that after the break. First, I want to let you know about Wyze. It's the indoor camera that does it all. It is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It shoots in 1080p full HD. Images so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got two-way audio and even night vision. Its mission is to bring amazing smart home products that are accessible to everyone. You can check on your home anytime with Wyze Apps live stream. You can connect to life as it unfolds in sharp focus live stream with 8x digital zoom. This has 14-day rolling free cloud storage. So for 14 days, if you're on vacation and you want to watch your house, and you're gone for a week, you can watch for 14 days. You have free rolling cloud storage. There are no subscriptions. So you can watch your pets at home while you're at work running around. You can watch your food simmer on the stove if you need to run to the store while you run your errands. You can watch your plants grow through time lapse if you are into that sort of thing. Whatever it is, you can watch your driveway. You can watch your house. You can set it up however you want. $20 a cam, you can watch it and you can do anything. So that's not it. If you want more, they got it too for $10 more. The Wyze campaign gives you 360 degree coverage in under 3 seconds. So get the Wyze cam, $20, or for an extra $10, you get the extra features, free rolling 14-day cloud storage with no subscriptions, okay? This works with your mobile phone. You can take it anywhere. Go to Wyze.com, W-Y-Z-E, Wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price and learn more. Remember, Wyze.com/locked. The Boston Celtics are most likely going to take on the Indiana Pacers unless something weird happens. But and as we record this, the Pacers are now losing to Oklahoma City. That's nice.
They run ever since we started recording. We've done good things, sending good energy the Thunder way.
Keep recording. Keep this podcast going until the Pacers lose. The Celtics are going into the playoffs as either the 4 or the 5 seed. And now the question, as Jam Packard suggested before the podcast, it's a good question. We know that the top two guys on this team are Kyrie and Al Horford. You need those two guys if you're going to have a chance to make any sort of deep run. Who is number three? Do you want to go first? You pose the question. I'll let you have the first crack at it.
I think the answer, and I think – it may be obvious. It feels obvious to me, but the answer to me is that if the Celtics are going to do anything, the third guy has to be Gordon Hayward. I just think that we've clearly seen the punch and just like the how much the Celtics play that much much better when Hayward scores more than like 15 points a game. When he's has the ability to be the kind of that second ball handler, they like. I'm assuming Kyrie's going to get a lot of minutes, but there's going to be minutes where he's not on the floor and Al Horford's not on the floor. If there's a guy on the floor who can be consistent offense and actually get to the line, which is something that Hayward, even though he still has yet to be like a explosive finisher, he's a guy who knows how to like play through contact, like seek out contact, get to the line, which is important in the playoffs. I just think he's going to need to be a consistent scorer for this team and score upwards of 15 points a game and take way more shots. He needs to be aggressive, Gordon Hayward, if this team's going to go far. That's like how this team was constructed. There was supposed to be three stars. He's supposed to be the second guy after Kyrie in terms of scoring. And I just think that he has some playoff experience. He's not, I think he's just more like, he has a game better suited for the playoffs than I think Jason Tatum. We talk about Tatum's inability to kind of get to the line, and not, he's not as good at going towards the rim. I just think in terms of a secondary playmaker, he's the kind of the key guy for if everyone's focusing their attention on Kyrie, the ball swings to Tatum. Or, I mean, not to Tatum, to Hayward. He's going to be the guy who needs to make plays. And I just don't think that, I know Tatum and maybe Jaylen Brown had moments last year, but I just think that for this season, I can't think of anyone else other than Hayward.
So I agree with everything that you said, but I can't just spend all of this time repeating what you said, so I got to come up with somebody different, right?
Like, embrace debate. Yes,
right? I can't
make an argument for someone else. Well, hold on. Is there anyone besides Tatum or Jaylen Brown? Is there like a wild card candidacy from like Aaron Baines or Marcus Smart?
I would say the wild card, like the guy that you need to step up and play above what he does. If it's not any of the guys you mentioned, the wild card would be Mook, because he's the guy that if he goes back to 50-40-90 Mook, then that's gold. Then the Celtics are in real good shape because that guy is just deadly. He helps them stay big and play bigger against big lineups. Drive even off of closeouts and make a couple of passes. But to have a guy like that on the floor that is a reliable dead-eye shooter, if he goes back to 40% shooting Mook, then yeah, that helps the Celtics tremendously. Then they go on to that post Thanksgiving run where they went on that big winning streak and things were like, ooh, we're looking up. We might have turned this season around. That's not who I was going to make the argument for, but that's the wild card. The argument I was going to make was Jaylen Brown, because if Gordon Hayward doesn't do the things that you said, but Jaylen Brown does step up, then we're at a different, we could still see a different type of Celtics team, because he does bring that scoring off the bench. And what he allows the Celtics to do then is also play Brown down the stretch in these close fourth quarters where you don't really drop off on defense. You have a guy who can hit that three, who can stretch the floor, who can get out in transition and finish, and because of his increased ability to pass, can make a couple of plays here and there. Like, I think a Jaylen Brown that's locked in and can create off the dribble, that can hit shots, that can lead the second unit. You don't even need Gordon Hayward to do all of the things that you said. Hayward can be primarily a distributor, and Jaylen Brown can carry that second unit. So if it's not Gordon Hayward, and I agree with you that it should be, then Jaylen Brown would be right behind him as a guy that I think, if he's the Celtics' third best player in the playoffs, that they still have a shot.
You know what the wild thing is that it doesn't – I don't think it necessarily needs to be any specific player. Like, I lean towards Hayward. I agree with you about Brown. But I think it's like you expect Kyrie and Al to be Kyrie and Al. But then it's just like any of Mook, Tatum, Smart, Hayward, or Jaylen Brown if just like one of them play, like shoots 40% from three and is just like can consistently make open threes, with the amount of attention you think that Kyrie and Al get, if you just have one other guy step up and like maybe score over 15 points a game, I like really think that should be kind of the boost that's needed. It's just like when Mook was really scoring, it was scoring like 15 to 20 points a game. And it was just like another guy to get towards that 20 range was just so much for the Celtics. And that's the crazy thing about the Celtics and their depth is that it can come from anywhere. But if they just get it from, if they get another 20 points from any one of those five guys, then like they definitely have a chance. They just need consistent shooting. And because I think like the defensive effort is going to be there from Marcus Smart. I think Tatum's a pretty solid defender. It's just they need some sort of third. I don't think Al Horford's going to put up that much, that many points because he never really huge scoring. Like he makes clutch threes, but he's not like getting close to 30. But they need, like, I imagine Kyrie's going to score upwards of 30 points a game. Al's going to be in the 20s or high teens. And they just need like a third guy. And maybe that's, maybe it's like third guy by committee. Maybe they don't need one guy to be consistently great for the playoffs. They just need someone to step, someone different to step up each night.
No, that's a good point. Like, they just, they need three guys in every game. It's probably going to be Kyrie. It's very likely going to be Al. If one of those other guys can step up and have a monster game, then they have a very good shot. And that's true. It could be Terry Rozier. It could be anybody. It could be Daniel Tice coming in off the bench.
I really hope Tice does not play many minutes in the playoffs.
I don't think he should. I don't think so. He has really, really slipped a lot. We talked about it. Like he's probably nursing something. Something's not right, but he's been not good. But anyway. All right, that's fair. That's a fair place to leave that conversation.
In the next segment, we're going to tell you why none of that matters because the Celtics have zero chance of winning the NBA Finals according to history.
That's great. That's all for nothing. Very nihilistic tease there. Hey, remember you can get this show every day. Subscribe to the Locked On Celtics on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download the Himalaya app at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Celtics. So we spent the first couple of segments talking about how Jason Tatum is potentially awesome, and we are right there on the verge. One guy needs to step up to make the to make a deep playoff run, and now Jam Packard's going to shit all over everything.
Well, they say the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior, and so I was just like a little curious. The Celtics are going to either end up with the 4 seed or the 5 seed, and I was curious about how that has worked out in the past. In terms of championship runs. So there have been 72 NBA champions. And I was looking at their original seeds. 52 of them have been the number one seed. 11, including last year's Warriors, have been from the number two seed. 7 have been from the 3 seed. And then that leaves 2 left. 1, 4 seed, the 1969 Boston Celtics, when there was only 14 teams in the league, and they were the 4th and last seed from the Eastern Conference to make the playoffs, and the 1995 Houston Rockets, who were a 6th seed. Those are the only seeds below the 3 to win the NBA Finals. The Houston Rockets team had won the NBA Finals the year before, and that 1969 Celtics team had Bill Russell just being a steely-eyed missile man. That's when they, I'm pretty sure, when they beat the Lakers in the finals, but Jerry West still won finals MVP. But the Celtics just, they had won like 9 finals in that decade. So they were used to that stuff. They were pretty much, they were cruising. So the Celtics, what chance do they really have? Even if they make the playoffs, even if Gordon Hayward shows up, it would be pretty ahistorical for them to make a run like this, just because basketball, in order to be successful in the basketball, and it's different from other sports, and it's one of the reasons I really like basketball, is you have to it rewards being good repeatedly. Like, in order for a basketball game, you have to make a number of shots. You have to make 45 shots. You have to do the right thing over and over again. And so in basketball, cream normally rises to the top. It rewards people playing the best consistently. And, like, teams that are low-seeded don't usually win because they're not the best team. And so the Celtics probably have a very limited chance. I know it's not out of the questions because sports is crazy, but – no other four seed other than the 1969 Boston Celtics have done anything like this.
So what we're saying here is when the Celtics do it,
it will be pretty impressive.
And they'll do, it's funny, if the Celtics actually do it, which we don't think they're going to, but if they do, they will be the second four seed to ever do it, and it will be another Celtics team that did it. So that just says – it actually says a lot about the Celtics' history and what they've been able to do. I don't know that this season or this is even about winning a championship. Did you happen to see how many four seeds got to the finals?
No, I wasn't able to pull that. That was the other question because that's right. Because when you're thinking about this conversation, it's like the Warriors still exist. So even just getting to the finals for the Celtics, this Celtics team would be pretty – successful. So that is a way to break it down. I don't think anyone really other than the Warriors like fan base expects to win this finals, but I would assume that there's been more four seeds who have gotten there. But I guess the larger point is like there's a reason that the like top seeded teams are generally do better. It's because they're better at basketball. Like, I know there's a lot of built-in excuses, but like, I like the idea that basketball rewards good teams who do it repeatedly and are successful. And like, I don't know. It's like we talked about it on the podcast at Jay's place, or it's just like they don't have the habits of winning that you would expect kind of the great teams to go on deep runs in the playoffs. So I don't know. I'm just trying to I practice sports optimism, but then you look at the data. It's like, oh, man. History.
So
always here to ruin your day.
Here comes history ruining your day. So I just did a quick search, and the answer is five. Five four seeds have made the NBA Finals, including last year's Cleveland Cavaliers, the 2010 Boston Celtics, the 2006 Dallas Mavericks, the 1978 Seattle Supersonics, and of course the 1969 Boston Celtics. So that's the list of teams that have made the finals as a four seed. So we could have a situation where it's two straight years where the four seed out of the East have made the conference, the NBA finals. That's a thing that's possible. I agree that the seeding is the seeding because the teams aren't good enough to make that to be a higher seed. The difference, I think, that we're talking about with this Celtics team than potentially most other four seeds. Like last year, the Cavs were a four seed. Why? Because they're desperately trying to figure out what to do around LeBron. And they had this weird thing where LeBron started trying and all of a sudden he carried that ragtag bunch of crap to the finals. The Celtics are similar, at least in that they have the potential to start trying and put together a run that we all thought they could make. And unlike most four seeds where they go into the season with this kind of middle of the road expectation, like the Atlanta Hawks that were always seemingly a 3-4-5 seed somewhere in there, that those teams came in, you're like, well, if certain things happen, they could be good, but they were just always in the middle of the pack, and you're like, you know, sort of like they never were looked at as, wow, this team is gonna make a big run. The Celtics this year had such high expectations, and so many people saw them as the potential, a potential Eastern Conference representative in the finals, that you still have that feeling, like, even after all of this, that if they find a way to put certain things behind them mentally, if they find a way to snap into their roles, if they find a way to stop being selfish and start being focused and start executing on defense, and if Brad Stevens finds a way to start getting those guys to do it via different lineups, via taking certain minutes away, and by virtue of increasing minutes for other players can start phasing out some of these other guys who have been problematic. If a lot of those things happen, and it is a lot, it's not likely.
That was a lengthy list of ifs.
It's a lot of ifs, but each one of those is plausible. Like, it's not like I'm asking a random player like Daniel Tice. Like, well, you never know if Daniel Tice comes in and averages 18 a game. Like, we're not asking anybody to do anything besides what they're capable of doing. Like, we're just asking these guys to do what they're capable of doing. That's the difference. We're not asking guys to be something that they're not. All we're asking with these Celtics is to do something that they're capable of doing. And that's why this optimism exists, where maybe I'm one of the few remaining optimists that still says it's possible. Again, I admit it's not likely, but it's still possible. Like, that's still there. I'm not the only person who thinks this. There are plenty of people, if you listen to other NBA podcasts and they talk about the Celtics, where they discuss all the problems that they have, and then invariably one of these conversations ends like, but they're still pretty dangerous if they put it together. Like, that asterisk exists even with them as being a potential 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah, I mean, a fully healthy Celtics team with Gordon Hayward playing well is, like, when we've seen that happen this year, they've been a pretty good basketball team. So I agree with you. There's a chance. There's a reason they're going to play the games. They're not just going to show up and say, "Up, oh, we're a 4 seed. We have no chance." And so I agree with you that there's all those ifs could come true, and it's conceivable. They have the talent. They have the potential. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, because I may not have picked them to win 65 games.
yeah, that's not going to happen. But and look, this is just a statement, I think, of the situation. Do I think it's going to happen? It's there's no evidence to say it's going to happen and they're going to make this run. But when you look at the teams in front of them, this Pacers team, which is still 11 points behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, so they're probably going to lose, which means they are going to come into this game on Friday. A game ahead of Boston. So Boston can tie for the 4th seed, which will put the next game in Indiana next week. That could be for the 4th seed and the tiebreaker. So the 4th seed is still there. They should beat the Pacers. If they face the Milwaukee Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks have flaws. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks went out and beat the Houston Rockets last night, 2 nights ago by the time you listen to this. Eric Bledsoe looked great. He beat the Rockets by himself in the third quarter, and they are still a very, very good team, but they're flawed. They're flawed in ways that the Celtics happen to have players who, if they play to their full potential, and they haven't played to their full potential all year, but if they do, they have a shot in that series. And if they have the shot in that series, then they go to the conference finals, and you don't know what's going to happen with the Raptors, because who really trusts the Raptors, even though they've been so good all year? They would be heavily favored, I'm sure, but crazy things happen from there. So it's wild that we're even able to make a case for something like that to happen. So it's there. It's not about getting hopes up. It's just, it's a path that's there if these guys want to do the things necessary to do to get there. All right. There it is.
You're here.
I can't believe I had to be the optimist with Mr. Sports Optimism here. That's wild. young baby Jamwich, right?
Oh, you got to say it with more confidence than that. Young Baby Jamwich. Yeah. That's me.
That's you. Okay. Got to get these things right. I got to write it down. I just got to write this down. Okay. I hope you guys have enjoyed your show, the show. All of you new listeners, hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. You can, of course, subscribe to the show on that new Himalaya podcast app that we've been talking about, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in the car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. All of you regular listeners, that 5-star rating is essential to my well-being, my mental health, and my physical well-being. Please, 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 5 stars and a good written review. This helps us make money. Even if you're not purchasing things, which you should purchase things that we try to sell you, but if not, this good rating and good review pumps us up and gets us into the top 200 or above. We really want to keep climbing those rankings, so please, please, please do that. I'm done begging. That's the show. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.